Paige,
yeah,
I'm fucking tired.
Me too.
Listen, I had to drive 2.5 hours away to pick someone up at the airport. And to drive 2.5 hours back today with my toddler.
That's rough.
I get to the fucking airport, like right around when they say be at the airport.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. And you know how it says no parking any motherfucking time at the arrival gates? But I'm like, I don't know where.
Oh,
I don't know what to do.
It's so stressful.
Right. So I'm sitting there as long as I can. At first, this old bitch, when I say old, like, had a sweater on today because she is too old to generate her own body heat. Old. Fucking knocks on my window and gestures for me to move my car. Like, ma'am, who are you? Who are you? Are you airport security?
Yeah.
Are they hiring from nursing homes now? Where's your uniform? So I just ignore her a few times. Then finally, an official person with an official vest comes up and she's like, what's going on, honey? Because I was just sitting there for like, it was a long time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I just got stuck with doing this. I don't like airports. I'm just trying to make sure that I get them and get them home. And she's like, okay. So there's a gas station, and you're going to go sit there until they give you the high sign, okay? And then you're going to come right back and get them. So I'm like, okay, thank you for being nice. So I pull back out, and as soon as I lose my spot, I get a text from the guy I'm picking up who's like, hey, we're right at the door, whatever.
Oh,
I'm like,
of course.
You fucking... So I have to make the loop, come back,
yeah,
and I get them. It's fine. So they get in the car. And I'm like, okay, so like, what's your flight time on Friday? I can bring you back. And they're like, oh, actually, we don't have a flight. We know someone who's going to just come pick us up and drive us to our next location. I'm like, sick. I don't have to do this again. And he's like, but they're not going to come until the day after I said we'd be leaving. Motherfucker, I got you a hotel. You don't have a night. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean? So I was like, okay, fine. I'll just add a night. I'll just tack a night on the end. That's okay. I get them there. We go in, I go to the desk, I'm like, can you just add a night at the end? And she's like, no, we don't do that. You just have to make another reservation for that night. Excuse me. First of all, that's way more complicated than it needs to be. I'm sure you're not fucking, you're a days in.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. Just tack a day. So you're going to make them move rooms.
Yeah.
For why?
Yeah.
For what? And I was like about to fight with this one. I'm like, she looks younger than I am. This is not her policy. I'm not going to, like, almost, like, you could see in my eyes, the rage started to dance. And I was like, no, be sweet. Put it away. Smile. Say, okay, I can do that. And just get out of there. And then I dropped my kid back at home. And I went in the house. And I peed. And I drove here.
Dang.
This has been my whole fucking day.
Damn.
My whole day. I'm so ready to hear about this. Book, can you make me forget what my life has been with the
sure.
power of story?
Hopefully. That's a lot of pressure to put on me, but okay. yeah, let's get started. Okay. So, as you know, my last episode was pretty rough. That was hard. It was hard. The book wasn't great. My brain was short-circuiting. So, I'm going to not do that again tonight.
Thank
I hope.
You.
This week, I am going to talk about a book that I absolutely loved. Seriously, it healed something right in here, right in my
Aww.
Heart, in my soul. It was so good. We're going back to high school, Catholic school to be exact.
What?
We're going to explore queerness as it relates to religion.
Heck yeah.
The struggles of being a second generation immigrant,
Whoa.
Interracial adoption,
what?
And even some heavy mental health topics.
Whoa.
The Lesbiana's Guide to Catholic School by Sonido Reyes tackles these topics with grace and humor, and yeah, so let's get lit.
That's amazing. Like, this is like, this was made in a lab for you to buy it.
Yeah, it was.
Amazing. I'm here for it.
All right. So 17-year-old Yami Flores is off to Catholic school. Why? She tells her mom it's to look after her brilliant but troubled younger brother. The real reason? She confessed her feelings to her best friend, Bianca, who then outed Yami to all of their friends.
What a bitch.
Yep. Yami cannot show her face at her old school and is even willing to pay her own tuition for a fresh start where she can fly under the radar. The gaydar, yep. If you will.
Oh, ping. Ping.
Ding, ding, ping. Ding. I got it. But things might be over before they start. Yami is having trouble finding a job to pay her way at school. But she comes up with a brilliant plan to help her mother with her jewelry making. Yami's mom works full-time and functions as basically a single mother since Yami's father was deported to Mexico. She loves to make jewelry, but has no time to put it online to sell. That's where Yami comes in. She's going to make an Etsy shop. She markets on social media and even offers to go to local markets. In exchange, Yami is allowed to keep the money that she makes. All right, we're good. We're ready for our first day. Here we go. Day one. Yami meets Jenna, Karen, and Emily. These three kind of serve throughout the book as just like very typical high school girl clique antagonists. Yeah, yeah. They're also pretty casually racist throughout the whole book.
The plastics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Like, the one girl, like, basically tells her, she, like, wears hoops to school and, like, Jordans one day, Yami does, and one of these girls is like, oh my god, you look so ghetto. And it's like, excuse me.
Amazing.
Anyway, yeah, so that's them. More importantly, though, she meets Beau. Beau is Chinese, wears pants instead of a skirt, and rainbow Converse, and gives a speech on abortion rights on her first day of class.
Hell yeah, Beau.
Yami's super impressed, and she really hopes. She's pretty sure Beau is queer. Can't be too sure. She's like, oh, I'm pretty sure she's queer, but what if she's not? It's like, oh,
what
honey.
If she's just the world's best ally?
Right?
But like, for real, I thought I was just like the world's best ally for a bit before I was like, why do I only feel comfortable in queer circles? What's this about?
Don't we all? We're all like, oh my gosh, wow, I'm such a great ally. Just kidding. The call is coming from inside.
Exactly.
The house.
Exactly.
So Yami begins to make friends with Bo, and Bo introduces her to her friends. So things are going okay for Yami. While her younger brother, Caesar, almost immediately starts receiving detentions for falling asleep in class.
Oh, no.
So Caesar tells their mom that he is on the football team, so she won't be suspicious of him staying late after school.
Oh, that's not going to be a maintainable lie. Okay.
They kind of get around it. Like, essentially, their mom is so busy and is
she's
at work all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Bo even offers to drive them home, but Yami is, like, super embarrassed about where she lives because they live in, like, the poorer part of town.
Sure.
And this Catholic school is in, like, the wealthy white part of town.
Sure.
So she lets Bo take them to the train station. Like,
okay.
They have to take the train home. So she's like, you can drive us to the train station, but that's it. One day Caesar tells Bo, he's like, hey, I don't need a ride because I have plans. So Bo invites Yami to hang out with her at her house.
Yes, she does.
And obviously Yami says yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yami meets Bo's parents who are, they adopted Bo. They are white. Their whole house is, she describes it as like being decorated with Chinese style stuff, but like in a not offensive way. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, they're trying to be,
there's some authenticity there.
Yeah.
It's not just like, I got you this mug with a rooster on it because you were born in 1993, don't you? Like, so my ex-husband is Chinese.
Okay.
And the way my family quote-unquote embraced that was like with like a shitty rice cooker and like crappy Chinese looking garbage crap. It was not.
No, like, this was like, this is like, they're trying. They are. And Bo's parents are very accepting of who she is. They're very supportive of her. Like, they're fairly decent parents.
Sure.
As far as
sure.
parents go.
Also, like, Chinese artwork is fucking lit.
Yeah.
Put it on my walls.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Anyway, so Yami hangs out with Bo. When Yami gets home, though, she finds Caesar in the backyard with his friend Jamal when she sees them kiss.
Yeah! It runs in the family.
It does. Yami is shocked and excited, but their mom comes home, and so Yami has to lie and say Jamal is her boyfriend because she doesn't know, they don't think that their mom is going to be supportive because their mom is fairly religious.
Sure.
Fast forward, homecoming is now right around the corner. That one of those bitches, Jenna, asks Bo to homecoming as a joke.
I'm triggered.
Mm-hmm. Bo obviously gets very upset, so she ditches school with Yami and they go see a movie.
Can I trauma dump? I have
sure,
to. I'm
go
so,
ahead.
So there was a boy. I'm going to use his entire fucking name.
No, don't do that.
I
don't
am.
Use his government name.
Why not? No, he's going to deserve it. His name is okay. His name starts with a K. We'll call him K. Every day, every fucking day, for 2 months, when we were in 8th or 9th grade, he asked me out in front of the whole cafeteria because isn't it hilarious that somebody would want to go on a date with Pixel? Every day. For two months.
And, like, people thought it was funny every single day, like, over and over and
I
over
don't,
again.
I was so, like, my adrenaline response, blood in my ears, like, I don't know how anyone was reacting after the first time. I was just like, oh, my God, we're doing this again. Why are we doing this?
Oh, my God.
To be fair, he's, like, big stupid and always has been. So, like, Alrighty. In hindsight, like, his life hasn't gone anywhere. He peaked.
Yeah.
Him making fun of me in front of the cafeteria was the peak of his existence.
That's a bummer, man.
But yeah, so the whole, like, joke ask out, that's not fucking funny.
No, it's not. I had a boy lie to me and tell me that he liked me, wanted to date me, but, like, I couldn't at the time because my parents wouldn't let me date. And so for, like, 2 months we, like, talked. And then I finally convinced my parents, like, that I was mature enough to date someone. And then I found out he was lying to me and dating another girl the whole time.
But why? What? Why?
I don't know. I don't
at
know.
At least I get that it was, like, performing for an audience. Like, it was, like, stupid. Like, hey, look at me. I'm king shit.
Yeah.
But, like, what is that? What did that do for him?
He says he does it. He said, yeah, I think he said something of, like, I didn't want to hurt you. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. But it's like, okay, well, my feelings are hurt now. Like, right. How long did you think?
So dumb.
Anyway, boys are stupid.
Everyone of a
high schoolers
certain age
are stupid.
Is every human. We're all so fucking dumb.
I know.
God. What happened in the book next?
Okay. So, they leave, they ditch school to go see a movie. During the movie, Bo grabs Yami's hand, and Yami kind of realizes, oh, crap, I think I like this girl, but I'm trying to be not gay, so I don't know what to do about that.
Good luck.
So on the night of homecoming, Yami and Bo go over to Bo's house and watch scary movies, hang out, da-da-da-da. Yami gets super paranoid that she thinks, like, Bo knows she has a crush on her, so she lies and tells Bo that she's straight. Ugh. And Bo kind of gets in this, like, okay, why did you feel the need? Like, do you think that I just, like every girl that I talk to?
Oh,
like,
God.
That type of thing.
Oh, no. What a spiral.
So Bo's a little upset about it, because it kind of came out of nowhere. And so Yami leaves. Her brother invited her to an after party, a homecoming after party. And so she goes there. While she's there, she gets pretty drunk. She comes out to one of her friends, Hunter, then texts her dad comes out to her dad over text, and then calls Bo and confesses her feelings via voicemail.
Brave.
So
stunning and brave.
Sweet, sweet girl is too drunk to function.
Mm-hmm.
Bo saw her message, did not listen to it. And that she realizes Yami is drunk. And okay. So she comes to the party and picks her up.
Okay.
But she has not listened to the voicemail. So oh. Yami takes her phone, deletes the voicemail. Crisis averted. However, Yami's father never says anything to her. Does not respond at all.
Okay.
So over Thanksgiving break, after homecoming, we have Thanksgiving break. Jamal comes and lives with them because his parents kicked him out. He came out to them and his parents kicked them out.
Great.
But they don't tell Yami's mom that that's why he got kicked out, because they don't want her to make him leave too.
Yeah.
Kind of an important thing that happens while he's staying with them. All three of them walk to pick up snacks at like a convenience store and are harassed by some bullies from their old school. They nearly hit Yami with their truck, but Caesar pushes her out of the way and almost gets hit himself. So Caesar is a bit risk, tends to put himself in risky situations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So right before Christmas, there is a day where, I guess, in Catholic school, everyone has to do confession.
Yes.
And Caesar is acting kind of weird the whole day, and then tells Yami that he and Jamal broke up and that Jamal moved to New Mexico.
Where are they now? Remind me.
They live in Arizona, in Phoenix.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So her dad still hasn't texted her. So she decides, I need to work extra, extra, extra hard to save up money so that we can get an apartment in case right. her dad tells her mom
right.
and she kicks them out. So for Christmas, Yami's mom surprises them with a trip for her and Caesar to go and see their dad, but Yami doesn't want to go.
Right, right.
But her mom doesn't know that. But she kind of gives this, like, I have a huge project going on, so you go with Caesar, too. I know you want to see, you know, your husband or whatever. So they do. And then during Christmas break, because Caesar and her mom are going to be gone, Beau invites Yami to stay at her house over the Christmas holiday. They start to get really close. They do, like, she learns a lot about, like, the traditions that Beau's family has. It's a really fun and sweet time in the book. There's a lot more to it.
It's the Christmas scene in a book.
Yeah, the Christmas stuff in a book. But it does end in Beau working up the courage to ask her parents to let her explore her heritage and culture on her own terms. Which is, it's a really cool moment, and, like, her parents are obviously like, yes, absolutely,
sure.
Like, you do.
Right, sure.
Yeah. She's like, can you just, like, take all the Chinese decorations right. down? It's too much.
Right.
So, Christmas passes. Caesar comes home, and he kind of tells Yami, like, their dad said a lot of really homophobic things. And so Yami is super determined to make as much money as possible, so she gets a second job working for Beau's mom. So if we're thinking about it now, she now has two jobs, school, trying to maintain a friend, like a love, like a social life. That's the word.
Yeah.
And so Yami's tired.
Oh, for sure.
She's stressed. She's overwhelmed. The book kind of fast forwards to February, which is Yami's birthday. It's on Valentine's Day. Cute. So Beau and her other friends decide, like, they're going to plan a ditch day to go
excellent.
And do for her birthday.
Excellent.
However, everyone except for Beau and Yami get caught. So it's just Beau and Yami. But it's, like, not a date, but it is a. It's totally a date.
Totally.
But it's totally a date. So while they're out, they run into Bianca, the ex-best friend.
That outed her to everyone.
That outed her. After an extremely awkward interaction, Yami ends up confessing her sexuality and her feelings to Bo, and they kiss.
Yeah, they do.
Finally.
Yeah, they do.
So Yami finally lets Bo drive her home, but when she pulls up to the house, she gets a call from Jamal, who is, in fact, not in New Mexico.
Oh?
Is still in the area staying with cousins, I think.
Okay.
She gets a call from Jamal saying that Caesar is in the hospital.
Oh, no.
It turns out that Caesar had been struggling with suicidal thoughts and suicidal ideation.
Baby boy.
And yeah. Called Jamal asking for help.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that, oh, shit. That also kind of almost tiptoes into that area of, like calling your ex to say you're going to kill yourself. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That just sucks for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's no good for anyone involved.
Yeah. This part of the book was really difficult for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I will get into more a little bit here.
Okay.
So Caesar is transferred to a behavioral health center for 3 days. Basically, they were like, you're going, you can either go on your own or we're going to take you there, yeah. Type of thing.
Right.
Yami is feeling extremely guilty because it was like the one day that she wasn't there for him. She wasn't there to take him home from school. And so she's just kind of in this like, this is my fault. I should have been there. He should have come to me. He shouldn't have had to go to Jamal.
Right. Instead of seeing it as, you took one day for yourself, girl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're also.
Right. And like, how is she expected to know that that would happen?
Right.
But I definitely understand though. This like, of course, the one day that I'm not here is the day my brother needs help.
Right.
When they get home, Yami's mom tells her that she's gone through Caesar's phone and discovers that Caesar and Jamal were together. Caesar's bisexual. And then she and Yami kind of get into a fight. Yami's kind of like, well, you're the one who's constantly saying like homophobic things and all this stuff. And you're like always making jokes.
Yeah.
And, you know, her mom is then like, what, you were supposed to be there for him. And like, it's kind of this whole.
Yeah.
Kind of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Yami visits Caesar at the center and they kind of talk about what happened. And Caesar kind of confesses that the reason why he broke up with Jamal is he felt like he needed to, after confession, like that was going to be his penance, was that he needed to break up with Jamal and only date girls. And basically, it in order to make God and also his dad love him.
Yeah.
Like, Yami and Caesar, they kind of get into this, like, you know, like, Yami's kind of like, do you think there's something wrong with me? Do you think there's something wrong with Jamal? And Caesar's like, no, I don't. It's just me. And like this, you know, everyone else is okay, but for me, it's not okay.
Right.
But they are able to kind of reconcile a little bit, and then Yami tells Caesar how she came out to Bo and about the birthday and stuff like that, so they kind of get to end on a bit more of a happy note. In order to lessen the pressure on Caesar, Yami decides that she is also going to come out to her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, surprisingly, despite her fears, Yami's mom is extremely accepting.
Yeah. Holy shit, I'm gay too. What?
No.
No, I know.
That would have been funny. So her mom apologizes for the things that she said, for making that made her unsafe to talk to. And Yami also tells her mom that her dad has not been talking to her since she came out to him in October.
Can you imagine, like, yeah. you are forced to live in another country than your child.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still going to, like, throw away the little communication you have.
Yes.
Because that's just, it just makes me so mad.
Yeah.
So mad.
So, finally, Caesar gets to come home. Yay. When they get home, the whole house is decorated in rainbows and there is food.
Aww.
And yeah, so there's like rainbows and cascarones and all these things.
Quinceañera.
Yeah, kind of.
I love it.
While they're, you know, they're eating, Caesar is talking about like his therapist and the therapist he was seeing at the center. And he's like, I don't like this therapist. I want to go to a therapist that is like LGBTQ affirming.
Yep.
And so they are able to find him one and he agrees to start going to therapy.
I can't imagine that a non-LGBT friendly therapist working with an LGBT person who is suicidal is a recipe for success.
No.
Like, what the fuck? Who thought that was a good idea?
Yeah, I don't know. That night, Yami and Caesar hear their mom yelling at their father over the phone.
Hell yeah.
And so
his ass.
Yeah. So then they go in and they put the phone on speaker and all three of them are just like, screw you. You don't get to be a part of our lives. If you don't love us for who we are, like, we're done with you. Like, don't talk to us unless you've decided to love us no matter what.
Oh, my
God.
Actually,
it's a really funny, like, it's like, yeah, but also, like, the things that they were saying were really funny. I really enjoyed that part. But, yeah.
I wish I was that brave.
Oh, yeah. I could never.
Yeah.
I think it was like this idea though that like all three of them were together and they knew they had each other, so they knew that like it was which was nice. After that, Yami has decided she is going to be her authentic self and she is gonna ask Bo to prom.
Oh.
Prom. So she enlists Caesar and her mom and the art teacher and all of these people to help her pull this off. She is going to ask her out at the art show. And she paints a rainbow canvas with the words prom in the middle. Obviously, Bo says yes. They're so excited. It's so cute. They're so happy.
Okay, but I hate the promposal phenomenon because it's like, how are you supposed, where are you supposed to go from there?
It's what like, do you mean?
Because then it's like, well, how do you ask somebody to marry you if there's fucking teenagers doing all this shit for a promposal? I just think it's dumb. I don't like
it. I think maybe you're overthinking
it. I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't have to explain myself. I just don't like it.
Well, they're teenagers, so there had to be some kind of big romantic gesture. So this is the
Listen,
best you get.
My promposal was I sat next to the foreign exchange dude, and he's like, they'd made an announcement on the loudspeaker in the morning of a prom, and he's like, you want to go?
I wasn't allowed to go to prom.
Ooh, I wish I wasn't allowed. It was not a good experience. What does that mean? What does that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean?
What is Christian prom? Do you just pray the whole time?
No.
Do you dance to
It's like regular, it's like prom, and it's mostly for homeschoolers, but also, like, you can go if your parents don't want you to go to regular prom.
Is it like Christian music?
No, it was regular music.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you just, like, you get dressed up, you go to a hall, you eat dinner, and then you dancing.
What you do, you go to prom, and like if you're a Christian, you stay away from the center of the dance floor because that's where the real shit happens. Like the further away
that's
you are,
not
from
allowed
the
chaperone, to happen at Christian prom. Mm,
there's lots of things that aren't allowed to happen.
I chaperoned Christian prom one time.
What a narc.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Anyway. But the next day, even though there is nothing in the school handbook that forbids same-sex couples from going to school dances, the principal has decided that now is the time that they are going to make that rule.
No, it doesn't say that dogs can't play basketball. If the rule isn't in there, rule isn't in there.
It's not there. They should be allowed to go. But they don't. They aren't.
Can I just like pat myself on the back for how much Grumpy is loving my Air Bud joke that I just dropped? He is sitting 5 feet behind me, absolutely trying not to ruin this recording with his guffaws, his barely stifled snickers. Sorry, continue.
Anyway, so they are super mad about it. They go to the principal. They basically like tell the principal off. And so then they get detention. But then when they get to detention, like 50 other kids from the school come and sit in detention with them as like the sign of solidarity. So it's this kind of like cool thing that like not all the Catholic kids suck.
Love that.
Yeah. And so they decide they're going to have an anti-prom.
Everyone's gay at the anti-prom.
Yep.
Dicks out at the anti-prom. I'm sorry.
Anyway. So, a bunch of students come to their anti-prom. Beau's friends, but also, like, kids that they're not friends with. So, it's kind of cool. They have their little moment on the dance floor. They're dancing. They say, I love you.
Aww.
And then they spend the rest of the night, you know, dancing away with their friends. And that's how the book ends.
That's so sweet.
It is. It was a very sweet book. And I was like, wow, I wish I could have been like that in high school.
Right?
I wish I could have been outspoken. I wish I could have just, like, known and not been so...
Genuinely?
Religiously oppressed.
Yes, and confused about my... What am I?
Oh, yeah.
I am not...
When I was in high school, I was, like, struggling with impure thoughts about girls.
I love that for you.
And... somebody told me, I can't remember if it was it must have been a youth leader, told me to put a rubber band on my wrist.
No fucking way.
And every time I had an impure thought,
so they did a version therapy.
Snap myself with a rubber band.
That's
because self-harm is definitely the right way to go when you're trying to not do something anymore.
Too bad you're into pain. No, I don't mean to put that on you. But, like, that could completely backfire. The person's like, I like women and being choked and slapped. Like, this is only making this worse.
Oh, my God.
That's so fucked. I was just like...
It really is.
Why do I want to fuck all the time? I'm a lady. Ladies aren't supposed to fuck. Am I not a lady?
Maybe you're not a lady.
I don't... Exactly. Am I not a lady because they told me I wasn't or because I'm not? I don't know. I don't know how I got here. I just know I'm here. I'm here.
Everything is confusing.
Yep.
In high school. Nothing makes any sense.
Danny was jerking off to me all the time. I didn't even know.
Yeah, but you didn't know that. So
had no idea.
There were no boys jerking off to me in high school.
You don't. Yes, there were. I'm telling you.
Have you ever seen a picture of me from high school?
No. Why would I have seen a picture of you from high school? Listen, that's being in high school. That's being in high school in the 2000s.
I did not get even semi pretty until like my senior year of high school.
Fuck you. You can't be the judge. I know you. You cannot be the judge of that for yourself.
And then it very quickly like went downhill. Like I did not get too pretty for very long.
What are you talking
like,
about?
Maybe for like 4 years in college. And then I just dropped.
I have always been some flavor of hot, I'm convinced.
Good for you.
Yeah. I don't care who else has an opinion about it.
Not me.
Dude, at prom, my worst prom memory. Can I tell you my worst prom memory? So this guy who was kind of like in the same friend group as me, but I never liked him. He never liked me.
Yeah.
Name was Nick. We wound up dancing together at some point. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, because you didn't go to prom, but like the grinding dance where it's like, basically it's like girl butt. In
crotch. I know what grinding is. I'm not stupid.
I didn't, like, I was just like trying to dance. And like, I was like, oh, it's crotch. Like, okay, I'm still just going to dance. And he's right up on, and he's mid-song. He stops. And he turns around. He's like, you're never, ever going to get a guy off. And then just walks away. This motherfucker looked like Danny DeVito in high school. And you have the nerve to tell me. Meanwhile, Danny's been getting off for years. So what the fuck do you know? Nick?
Nothing.
Nothing. Danny DeVito, motherfucker, telling me what I can and can't do.
We have a mutual friend who knew me in high school, so you can ask him.
I will. I will do that. That's Sound Buddy.
That is Sound Buddy.
That's Sound Buddy. Yeah, So what was your favorite moment of this lovely tale?
So, I don't cry when I'm reading books often, which is crazy because any other thing, I'm crying all the time. I'm always crying.
Well, you got to be able to see the page.
But when I'm reading books, no matter how emotional I get, I usually don't cry. Okay. This book made me cry.
Aww.
So during the celebration after Caesar comes home, Yami and Caesar ask their mom, basically, like, why did you change your mind? What about the Bible? And I want to read what she said.
Please. Please tell me.
I gotta find it. Give me 1 second. Hold on. Boop, 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 doop, boop, doop, 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 doop.
That was not unprofessionally recorded hold music. That was just Paige.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know that you knew that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so they ask her, what about the Bible? And she says, if the Bible tells me I shouldn't love my kids, then the Bible is wrong. I've done a lot of praying about this, and the answer is clear to me now. How can I abandon my kids when they need me most? Mm-hmm. Now that I've seen what can happen, if I don't support you with everything I've got, how can I not celebrate my children to the fullest? I'm not saying screw the Bible. I'm just saying I love you, both of you, and that's never going to change. The Bible also says to love everyone and not to judge, and I believe that God has a place in heaven for everyone with a good heart.
Oh,
I'm like, sweet. Maybe that's not the most theologically profound thing. But to be able to sit there and say, I don't care what my religion taught me.
Mm-hmm.
If it is telling me that I should not love my kids, then that interpretation of my religion is incorrect.
Right. If your religion is telling you to essentially be a sociopath, like, it's wrong.
Like, if you're not willing to love your child no matter what, don't become a parent.
Don't have kids.
If having a child that is gay would send you into a freaking tizzy and cause you to kick them out of your house, you are not fit to be a parent.
No, go play in traffic.
Get a dog.
What if your dog's gay? I don't even trust them with a dog.
True. A goldfish. You can have one singular goldfish so that you never know what its sexuality is.
And I hope that fucker looks you right in the eye and knows how much of a piece of shit you are.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just really, I was like, wow. I wish I would have known somebody in high school who would have said that to me.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, well. I have trauma instead. Not that these kids don't have trauma. They clearly have trauma. Anyway. Obviously, what made me angry was their fucking dad.
Mm-hmm.
Does
he come around, like, when they yell at him? Does he
No.
Ever... What the
no.
fuck?
And it's crazy because, like, throughout, like, pretty much leading up until when she texts him, like, she loves her dad. Yeah. She is constantly texting him because mom doesn't quite, they just kind of butt heads. You know, she's very focused on Caesar. Caesar's the golden child, all this stuff. And so, like, Yami has her dad.
Yep.
And so, essentially, she just lost her biggest support system.
Fan theory? Because he's motherfucking gay. This shit runs in families? Both siblings? come on. Like, everyone I know that has the most extreme, outsized, homophobic reactions. Mm-hmm. And like, you always find out there's,
it's because she talks about in the book that she's like, no, like, dad will be accepting. Dad's not super into religion. Religion has always been mom's thing. So, like, dad will definitely be more accepting than mom. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
not necessarily.
There are non-religious bigots out there.
But genuinely, if you're not religious and you're still homophobic, like, what?
Why?
What if you're not?
What bad, reason?
Like, seriously. What do you care what other people put where or like how many like
what the was the reason?
Are you worried about there not being enough children made? You shouldn't be. There's plenty of people.
I don't know.
On this little wet ball in space.
Propaganda. That's all. I guess. Yeah. So fuck Yami's dad.
Except don't. He don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Just leave him alone.
Yeah. Anyway. Favorite character. Mm-hmm. I really loved Caesar. I feel like I just connected with him. I fully relate to not being able to accept. Or I fully relate to being able to accept everyone else as they are. But then feeling like that doesn't apply to me.
Yep.
I have to be perfect. I have to do all these things. I have to perform the way that everyone else wants me to.
Yep.
He also has a lot of pressure on him. He's definitely, like, the golden child. He's very smart. He, like, even, like, he is, like, skipped a grade. Okay. So he's younger than Yami, but they're in the same grade because he's, like, he's just so smart. And so, like, he just has all this pressure on him to always be perfect. And, like, he's supposed to be something and be somebody. Yeah. And, like, his mom has all this expectations. And, like, I get that. I was always I got the good grades in school. My older brothers, not that they were, like, idiots, but, like, just, like, didn't really care that much.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. And then I come along and I'm, like, into school and, like, I get good grades. And so then I feel like I have to be perfect. And, like, I remember I got a D on, like, a quiz in a math class and just started sobbing in the middle of class. It didn't matter. I got an A in the class still. It was one quiz at the very beginning of the year, but sobbed. I had never seen a D anywhere before. And like...
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I definitely understand some of Caesar's struggles. He's also just like really funny. Like he's got all these lines throughout the book. That just make you laugh, which I can't relate to that, though. I'm not funny at all.
Fuck off.
As we've learned. and he cares so much about the people he loves, even though sometimes it's, like, to his detriment, like when he, you know, jumps in front of cars and things like that. But, yeah, I saw myself in Caesar, for sure. Overall, this book was really fun, even though it dealt with some, like, heavy topics. It was funny. I was laughing a lot. I did the audiobook. The narrator was great. I feel like I feel like depictions of high school in media are usually just awful. Like, that's not what high school is like.
Why is everyone here 30?
Yeah. But I felt like this book did a really good job. I mean, I didn't go to Catholic school. I went to, like, public school, so it's going to be a little bit different. But I was like, yeah, no, these people all sound like teenagers.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like sometimes when I read young adult books, adults are, like, trying to sound like teenagers, but they're not. they don't
yeah
quite understand right. how to sound like a teenager, and so it just ends up sounding.
This is what teenagers said when you were a teenager right. 50 years ago.
Yeah,
like nobody says this anymore.
But no, it's really natural. It I didn't like get pulled out of the story ever because of that or anything. So I don't know. I just really liked it. I feel like it's a really good book for teenagers to understand, you know, maybe navigating different parts of their identity. I think it's a great book for adults to read. So you can see, hey, be like this parent and not like this parent, but also don't wait to be Yami and Caesar's mom until something right, bad happens. Yeah. Just be that way already.
Be so open that they will know.
Yes.
That, yep.
Like if you don't know if your teenagers know if you're a safe person, like tell them that.
Yeah.
Don't make them guess.
Right.
Because they may not know and then they won't come to you.
Yep.
Anyway. There is a sequel to this book, and it is Caesar focused. Like Caesar is the focus of this. So I will read that one eventually, after hashtag Sapphic Summer is over, obviously. but I gave this book a 4 out of 5. It's just a really good YA novel. I think teenagers should read it. I think adults should read it. Everyone, go read this book.
Right now.
Right now. Yeah. So find us on Instagram.
At Page and Pixel.
PC.
Ah!
Jinx.
Yeah.
Anyway, but until next time, read hard.
Play hard.
Ila Kesh
Alakin.